Good morning, Brother Steve Fisher with the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. God bless you all this morning. I want to just share a little bit some of the things that I've been reading in Revelations here. I'm just going to read chapter 1 and maybe part of chapter 2 and maybe make a few comments as we go. Chapter 1 of Revelations. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel and his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written herein. For the time is at hand. You know, this was written probably almost 2,000 years ago, not quite. Excuse me. And John was given this revelation when he was on the island of Patmos. He was exiled there, hoping that he would die and be eaten of wild beasts or whatever, but while he was there, God gave him this revelation. And at the time, John said in the first verse there, he says that unto his servants, things which must shortly come to pass. And he signified, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. And then also verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the, well, the end of verse 3, for the time is at hand. So if those things 2,000 years ago must shortly come to pass, and here we are 2,000 years later, how much more will these things shortly come to pass? And how much closer is the time at hand? And we see a lot of things that, you know, around us that might look a little scary. And I know a lot of people that are even afraid to read Revelations because some of the things that it says, and, you know, it might be a little alarming, some things that we read here. But, you know, I don't think God wants us to put our head in the sand. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. But there in verse 3, he said, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. He says, for the time is at hand. So he's calling those blessed who hear, who read, and who hear, and who obey. So we want to read what God has for us in the end times, and we want to totally put our trust in God, knowing that he will provide. He will make a way for us. And we need not be afraid of these things, but we can look forward to the things, the promises that he gives here as well. And what we can see throughout this book is basically the ultimate destruction of evil. The ultimate, the end of evil, I could say, you know, where all the culmination of the ages, where everything will be brought to justice. Then in verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with his clouds. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him on all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Here he's just talking about the power of Jesus and his coming. He's washed us with his blood. Jesus was willing to give his life for us. He's not asking us to do anything that he's not willing to do. He suffered more than any of us can ever imagine. And he actually gave his life for us. So when we face these things, we can know that our King Jesus, he also faced the same things that we face. He was a man. He came in the flesh as a man. He faced the same temptations that we face. He faced the same pains, the same difficulties that we face. And he was willing to actually taste of the life in the flesh so that he could feel for us and so that he could understand and he could minister to us. And then he's also there for us when we are in the same temptations, in the same afflictions. He's always there for us. And his power is cleansing, the washing of our sins with his own blood. Verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. There he says, you know, I find it interesting there that verse 8, you know, God is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. He is the Son of God. And, you know, you would think, he says there that he is the beginning and the end. You would think that he would say, you know, I was the beginning and I will be the end, but he doesn't say it that way. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. And it's all simultaneous. It's not like he was and he will be. It's all at the same time. It's like Jesus is the beginning and the end at the same time. That's hard for us to grasp. You know, he sees everything. You know, we see throughout Revelations here that John is seeing things taking place that naturally, in the natural realm, has not happened yet. But in the spiritual realm, it's already taking place. And we don't understand that because we're natural beings and we live in time and we operate in the restraints of time. And so that is kind of foreign language to us. But that's the way it is in the spiritual realm. There is no such thing as time and events. It's like it's all there. It's all like God sees it at the same time. He's the beginning and the end all at the same time and everything in between. Verse 9, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And there he says it again, I am Alpha and Omega. You know, it's such a comforting thought to me that, you know, when we fear the things that we might face in the future and we don't know what's going to happen to us? We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the next minute here. We don't know what's going to happen. But it's comforting to me that to know that Jesus is already there, my King and my Lord. He's already there. He's already waiting for us. He's there to comfort us. And I need not be worried about anything, but he already knows what is going to take place. And he says, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and to Thyatira, Sardis, and to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake unto me, spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. The seven golden candlesticks, I believe, are a picture of, you know, it's talking here about the seven churches. And I think that basically includes all the church, all of the church throughout all the ages. And I'm not sure about all of this, but, you know, I have seen it broken down to the different ages, the different churches that it talks about here in chapter 2 and 3 then, where, you know, let's say, for instance, we would be in the last age, which is the Church of the Laodiceans. And so, you know, starting with the Church of of Ephesus there in the book of Acts, maybe. And then, you know, each church throughout the different ages, the Roman rule, the Dark Ages, the Reformation, and then the end times and whatever. But anyway, Jesus is there. He's walking among the churches there, and he is there. He's there with us. He is in our midst, and we can look to him. So. In the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. This is the glorified Jesus. You know, he came in the flesh, and he walked in the flesh, and he was a man. He became as one of us, to experience death for us. And now he's glorified. God lifted him up, and he is in his glorified body here. And John is seeing this beautiful Lord Jesus. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, which is basically the word of God. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, and saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. There he says it again. I am the first and last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Wow. He has the keys of hell and of death. And, you know, when we are his, we need not fear death. His death is, to those who believe, is a door to life. And we are redeemed forever. Because Jesus is alive. He died for us. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven church. And there he says it. The seven stars are the angels of the seven church, and seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So Jesus is walking among the churches. And you know, it uses the verse, the number seven, and you know, that's the number of completion. So I believe it's talking about all the church throughout all the age. And Jesus is walking among his church. And again, he is the beginning and the end, and everything in between, all at the same time, ministering to his church. God bless you.